Welcome to the Seed Pod for Kids. Thank you for joining me today as we spend time with our friend Jesus. Spending time with Jesus is the best way to start your day. Let's begin our time together by praising Him.
Sometimes people feel that something is missing in their lives. So you know what they try to do? They try to fill that missing place in their heart with other things. They might think that if they get more toys, it will make them happy. They might think that if they have more friends, or maybe different friends than what they have, then they will be happy. They sometimes think that, oh, if they just went on vacation, they will be happy. If only they could live a life like those other people, they would be happy. But did you know that there is a very special place in our heart that only Jesus can fill? If we don't have Jesus in our heart, then we think that something is missing. Because guess what? It is. When we know the story of Jesus, and when we have asked Him into our hearts, then it will satisfy our longings. We won't have to try to fill that place with other things, because guess what? Jesus fills that missing spot in our life.
I love to tell the story of my King Papa, of Jesus and His glory, of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story because I know it's true. It satisfies my longing. Nothing else can do. I love to tell the story. It'll be my feeling glory to tell the old story of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story for those who know it best.
Let's review the books of the New Testament. Are you ready? Starting with Matthew, I want you to say it along with me. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, James, 1st and 2nd Peter, 1st and 2nd, 3rd John, Jude, Revelation. Good job. Now, I want you to say it with me. We're going to say it just a tiny bit faster. Here we go. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, James, 1st and 2nd Peter, 1st and 2nd, 3rd John, Jude, Revelation. Good job. Hi, boys and girls. Welcome back. I'm so glad that you're joining me again today as we study about Jesus before Herod. Last time, Jesus had been sent by Pilate to Herod's court, and Herod tried to get Jesus to do what? To work a miracle, didn't he? But would Jesus work a miracle to save his own life? No. He was following the Father's plan. Even though bad things were happening, he knew that God had a plan and that this was best. Before we continue with today's lesson, let's pray and ask that Jesus' Spirit will be with us as we learn and we study of Him. Dear Lord, we pray that our eyes will be opened to see things that we've never seen before. We pray that our hearts will be touched because of your sacrifice that you did for us. Come into our hearts. Give us your wisdom. Give us understanding. In your name, amen. When Herod had told Jesus that he could go free if he would do some miracles, the priests were scared. What? Why would the priests be scared? Because they knew Jesus' power. They knew that he had done miracles. They had seen him do miracles. And if he chose to do one right now, guess what would happen? He would be free. And then, where would they be? Oh, they would look very ridiculous. But had Jesus ever done a miracle to save himself? No. Jesus' miracles were always done only to help others. When Herod saw that Jesus would not do a miracle, then what happened? Let's look it up, because Luke tells us all about it. Luke was a doctor who went and interviewed different people and wrote down their stories about Jesus. And those stories are in the book of Luke. So let's go to Luke chapter 23, verse 9, 10, and 11. Luke chapter 23. That's at the back of the book of Luke. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke is the third book in the New Testament. Luke chapter 23. And then look at verse 9, 10, and 11. Let's read that together.
Then he questioned him with many words, but he answered him nothing. And the chief priests and scribes stood and vehemently accused him. Then Herod, with his men of war, treated him with contempt and mocked him, arrayed him in a gorgeous robe, and sent him back to Pilate.
Herod had a robe, a purple robe, put on Jesus. They mocked him and beat him and teased him and made fun of him. And then what did they do? Sent him back to Pilate. Oh, Pilate was, I'm sure, very upset that Jesus was back. He would have been so happy that Herod was going to take care of Jesus and he wouldn't have to make a decision. He wouldn't have to condemn him. He wouldn't have to let him go free. He didn't have to worry about it. But now, here was Jesus, back in front of him. Pilate had to decide what to do with him. Suddenly, someone rushed in to Pilate with a note from his wife. Let's see what his wife said. Let's look at Matthew chapter 27, verse 19. Matthew chapter 27, verse 19. Matthew is the first book in the New Testament. Chapter 27 is towards the back of Matthew, because there's 28 chapters in Matthew. Matthew chapter 27, and now let's read verse 19. If you need a little more time, that's fine. Just pause the recording and then press play when you're ready. Let's see what Pilate's wife told him.
While he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent to him, saying, "Have nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things today in a dream because of him." Therefore,
now Pilate was confused. The note frightened him. He was scared. The priests and the rulers and the people were shouting. And then a thought came to Pilate. It's Passover time! That's what this weekend is starting. The Jews were allowed to choose one prisoner to be set free. So Pilate sent for Barabbas. Barabbas was a very, very wicked prisoner who looked evil and was evil. He was a thief, and he figured that whatever he took belonged to him. You know what else he did? He claimed to be the Messiah so that he could overthrow the Romans, and he had quite a group that followed him. But the problem was, he wasn't the Messiah. and his plan was to destroy Rome. So he was in jail. Pilate sent for Barabbas, who was supposed to be crucified. Pilate placed him right next to Jesus. He stood them side by side. Everyone could see the difference between the two. They could see that Jesus was innocent and pure and holy, and they could see that Barabbas was a mean and hardened criminal. Pilate was trying desperately to save Jesus and also to please the people. But whom did the crowd choose to be set free? Let's look at Luke chapter 23. So we're going back to Luke. Luke chapter 23, and we're going to read verse 18, 19, 20, 21, and 22. Luke chapter 23, verse 18 through 22. We're going to read all those verses. Let's see what it says.
And they all cried out at once, saying, "Away with this man, and release to us Barabbas, who had been thrown into prison for a certain rebellion made in the city and for murder." Pilate, therefore, wishing to release Jesus, again called out to them. But then they shouted, saying, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Then he said to them the third time, "What evil has he done? I have found no reason for death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go."
Pilate keeps arguing with this crowd. He keeps telling them, "I find no fault in him. There's nothing wrong. He is innocent." But the crowd is stirred to anger. There's so much hatred and jealousy. Satan is provoking all of the people in that crowd, and they are just absolutely determined that they will not stop. They will not rest until Jesus has been crucified. Here Pilate tried to get them to choose Barabbas, but the plan backfired. Do you know what backfired means? It means he had a plan and it ended up going the opposite way than what he was planning to do. When my kids were little, they loved food. My kids just loved food. I have seen a lot of kids that are really picky eaters. My kids have always loved food. People would sit and watch them and they would just, this little one-year-old would eat tons of food. And in fact, my little niece, Chloe, is the exact same way. So I think it's a family trait. But anyway, so when my kids were toddlers, they loved food. And we would give them their cereal first because, you know, like oatmeal or rice cereal that they would eat first, because if they ate that first, then they would fill up and they would be full longer and they could go longer until the next meal. But then the problem was they would eat so much of that they wouldn't have room for their fruit or for their vegetables. Huh. So then we're like, okay, we're going to do the fruit first. Well, then they love the fruit so much that they would eat all kinds of fruit and not have enough room for cereal that would hold them over till the next meal. Our plan backfired. We had to keep going back and forth, and finally we figured out a nice balance so that they could eat a lot of cereal but also have room to eat their fruit. It's kind of like Pilate. He is there trying to please the Jews, and he says, "Hey, take Barabbas." And they're like, no, release Barabbas. He's like, "Here, let's release Jesus, and then I'll crucify Barabbas." And they're like, oh no, we want Jesus to be crucified. When the priest told Pilate that Jesus had said he was the Son of God, Pilate became even more afraid to crucify him. So he decided that he would talk to Jesus again. Maybe if he could just talk to him and figure out how to fix this. Let's look at John chapter 19, verse 7 through 11. This is our last book that we're going to switch to. John is right after Luke. So we're going to John chapter 19, verses 7 through 11. Did you know that the more that you practice looking up these Bible verses, the easier it's going to get? You're going to become really good at looking up Bible verses, and you're going to become really quick. In fact, I bet you could find a lot of these Bible verses even before we read them, right? All right, so John chapter 19, verses 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11. Let's see what that says. What was Pilate saying to Jesus?
The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to our law, he ought to die because he made himself the Son of God."
Therefore, when Pilate heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the praetorium and said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer.
Then Pilate said to him, "Are you not speaking to me? Do you not know that I have power to crucify you and power to release you?"
Jesus answered, "You could have no power at all against me unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, the one who delivered me to you has a greater sin."
Pilate could see that Jesus was the Son of God. He did everything he could to try to release him, as long as it didn't conflict with him. You know, the priest said that if Pilate let Jesus go free, then Caesar, the Roman emperor, would think that Pilate wasn't being loyal to him. And that scared Pilate even more. He could lose his job. He could even lose his life if Caesar believed that Pilate wasn't loyal. Look at verse 12. Don't close your Bible. Look at verse 12. What does verse 12 say?
From then on, Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, saying, "If you let this man go, you are not Caesar's friend. Whoever makes himself a king speaks against Caesar."
What is Pilate going to do? When Pilate brought Jesus out again, what did he say? And what did the priest say? We're going to read John chapter 19, verses 13, 14, and 15. The next three verses. Let's see what those verses say.
When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus out and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in Hebrew, Gabbatha. Now it was the preparation day of the Passover, and about the sixth hour. And he said to the Jews, "Behold your king." But they cried out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priest answered, "We have no king but Caesar."
The Jewish priests and leaders, they were saying that God was no longer their king. They had no king but Caesar. They were choosing someone else in the place of God. Does God ever force us to make him king in our hearts? No. He asks. He waits patiently. He gives us opportunities, but he never forces us to make him king in our hearts and in our lives. Pilate had a great big decision, and we're going to find out next time what he decided. Boys and girls, I don't ever want to choose someone else over Jesus. I want Jesus to be Lord of my life. How about you? Well, let's pray and ask that he will come into our hearts. Dear Lord, we want you to reign in our hearts, to be the king of our lives. We want to follow you and trust you and obey you. Please help us to be more and more like you. Amen. We have our memory verse. Have you been learning it? It's such a good one. Greater love has no one than this. Who loved us more than anything else? Jesus. He loved us and he made the ultimate sacrifice so that we could live forever with him in heaven.
John 15:13.
Great love.
Bible story material used in today's devotional podcast has been used with permission from My Bible First. If you would like your own copy, please visit My Bible First at www.mybiblefirst.org or call 877-242-5317. For more information about this program and others like it, check out the description below.